get answered if you want.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for your attendance today. So, meeting on the 11th of October 2022, safety announcements, evacuation details and information are located in the chamber. In an emergency, an alarm of sound, orders will assist with your evacuation from the building. If directed, please evacuate the car in an orderly manner by the reception area. Go directly to the evacuation point in the car park beside the town hall. I declare this meeting open at 3:01. Attendance and apologies. We have the Deputy Mayor zooming in at the moment. There are no other apologies. Thank you. So, I'll begin today by acknowledging the Palatora and Palangia past peoples and traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today. And I pay my respects to elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. I want to acknowledge now that this is the last council meeting of this group of councillors, and I want to thank past councillors Andrew Connor, Susie Bauer, Frank Knott, who gave their time to represent the municipality. I also want to thank Councillor Tanny Keating, Councillor Andrew Turek, and Councillor Michael Friedrich for their time and effort that they've gave to council, and thank other councillors that may not come back, or may come back, we don't know. None of us may be here in the next meeting. So thank you for your time and effort. For Michael, not being around the board table very long, thank you. For Andy, for the 4 years you've put in, and for Tanya, for the 8 years. Well done, and we certainly appreciate it. Thank you for that. Okay, into the business, please, people. So I'd like to confirm the minutes. Would somebody like to move the minutes be accepted, please? Councillor King, thank you. Please. Councillor Sherriff, well done, well, thank you. Any discussion, councillors, on the minutes? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. All those in favour? Against? Abstained? Councillor Temple, I didn't see your hand go up. Sorry. Very easy. Thank you. I appreciate that. So that is all in favour. Thank you.
Who was the seconder?
Councillor Sherriff was the seconder. Any declarations of interest?
I think Deputy Mayor was in the process of putting in a declaration of interest. Is that right, Mick? Yeah, I think you're right, but I think Jackie sent you through an email. You wouldn't have seen it. That's all right. I'll take it offline. Yep, have it.
Thanks, Steve. Council workshop reports. So our workshop this month were briefer than usual due to the election caretaker arrangements currently in place. The upcoming October workshop is cancelled, as it will fall on the same day that election polls close. There will also still be a citizenship ceremony off the top of my head for existing councillors. So you've got the mayor and the councillors' reports that are in the
Okay, so it's rather surreal being here today, 4 years after being elected as councillor and not knowing who will have the privilege of being here for the next 4 years. As our time on council as a team comes to an end, I feel it important to acknowledge my council colleagues. Although we have not always seen eye to eye and have had our fair share of ups and downs, I have always seen us as just that, a team. There are many reasons that we all decide to take this path, but I do believe that our common goal is to benefit the community that we all love so much. I want to take this time to acknowledge former councillor Connor, Knott and Bauer, who have all played an important role in this term of council, and I know their interest in this community has not altered. Each of us being here brings something a little different to the table, and I'm disappointed that Councillor King, Sheriff and Friedrich, for different reasons, are not re-contesting. I've always enjoyed the robust discussion that comes from that side of the table, and I will miss looking at you and sharing punches.
Thank you. Not sharing, taking.
I'd like to take this time to thank Councillor King for her wonderful friendship and support during my time here. You will never die wondering what Tanya thinks, particularly when it comes to deer, rabbits, or her hometown of Westbury. Juggling council life with young kids can be tricky, but Tony has always supported and encouraged me, and sometimes given me that little kick when I needed it, so I ain't gonna miss your honesty. To the council directors and staff, although I've not always had the opportunity to tell you, and you may think that I'm the most annoying person in the world with all of my questions, I do really value your knowledge and appreciate your hard work. Whatever the outcome of the election, I just want to thank the electors for giving me this opportunity, and I wish all the candidates that have nominated for this election all the very best.
Thank
you.
Well done.
That's it,
I've got.
You're
crunchy. There you go.
Thank you, Captain.
Yes, I have an extra roll forward shortened up the gap between meetings of the homeless.
Thank you. Any other comments, councillors? We've got moving on. Thank you. Petitions. We have nil petitions.
Nil, Mr. Mayor.
So. Public question time. We had community representation. Sorry, Sandy Tiffin was listed to address the committee. Address the council. She since contacted council to request to present us today. So, moving on to public question time.
Mayor and council report. Yeah, he just mentioned it.
Okay. Sorry. Pause for a minute. James. Yep. No.
Questions from scientists. Those are already published, so questions from
So we need to get a sort of joke, don't we?
Oh, please, no.
No, don't tell us a joke, Mick.
Okay.
We're
all
right to go.
Okay, yep. Very good. So moving on to public question time. So I'll ask if anyone has a question to ask, I'll happily give you 3 minutes to ask the question. And there are paperwork that we'll need to fill out to submit it on paper to be recorded. So, open for public question time. So, if there's anybody who has a question, please, your chance is now if you wish to address them. I've never made a city for half an hour. Anybody's any questions? Okay. Very good. Lovely. Thank you. Moving on then to council question time. So there's no questions. We notice we've got one question without notice yesterday from Councillor Watch regarding baby goods. Councillor Watch.
Yes, so good council provide an overview of council activities regarding the protection of baby good habitats in our region.
Okay, looks like Matthew's getting it. Yep, yeah. You're coming up to the table, Matthew, so you must be going to answer, remember?
Yeah, 3 years in the end. Thanks, Councillor Mike, good question. I'll do the best. I'll touch on some operational aspects, and I'll come to government services. In terms of council activities, Councillor Spencer Bolt was aware of normal activities. In our region, I've been working with private landholders. Just some more education on their properties to obviously improve habitat for not only bamboo but other fauna as well. And certainly from council management, I can draw your attention to the Western Town Common where council have worked closely with the Canary and North through as well to re-vegetate corridors around the vegetation there in the Rock Village Street. provide that habitat and obviously obviously those corridors back through into the rural area. In addition to that, even recently we have placed someone in wildlife science to support Hindu signage and other rights to all those that are very much needed.
The plains team has a natural asset code which considers priority habitat vegetation. The priority habitat vegetation does consider the protection of flora and fauna. So obviously with the eastern bandicoots, they are listed under the EPBC Act, which is the Commonwealth legislation. So if people are wanting to do development and it is likely to impact any known flora or fauna that is listed under the EPBC Act, that is a separate matter outside of council and that will need to go directly through to the Commonwealth Government for assessment. However, those areas of vegetation or the habitat that is mapped that forms part of the natural asset code, if that development triggers that code, then we will do an assessment of that and require a flora and fauna assessment. I do know, however, that the priority habitat overlay provides an exemption for development in the residential and OMC residential zones, whereas for any subdivision. So if you want to do a house units and it was in the priority vegetation area, then that code is exempt. However, if there is a subdivision proposal and the land is within that priority habitat area, then we will require a fauna and fauna assessment.
Thanks. So I can just say that we've had some positive feedback with the signs that we are looking at around us for the slowdown for the bandages, so appreciate that. Thank you. Any other questions without notice from councillors?
I was just going to say one. The bandage has been my long period of working over the
band of money. Sorry, councillors.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just my usual question, is there any update on the development regarding Central Prison?
No, not official. I've had no official communication or otherwise with any person in the state government regarding the proposed prison. Gentlemen,
through you, Mr. Mayor. I had a conversation with the director of the prison project, Colin Shepherd. He's indicated that the due diligence work is still beavering away and he's offered to provide a briefing to council in the near future. I suggested that the appropriate time for that briefing is after the election with the new council coming in. We've also sent a letter from council to the department underlining the need for timely consultation and restating Robin Badcock's questions from, I think, March and asking for where appropriate updates to those responses. We haven't got a response back yet.
Councillors, any other questions? Just a moment, councillors, send through questions while emailing for the minutes, please. Thank you. All right. So, planning matters, council act as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning Improvements Act 1993. So, we have three planning panelists today. We have planning authority, which is for 8 Lyle Street, and we have one person to speak for us before we.
The air conditioning thing is very good.
Thank you.
Sorry,
should I
put it down?
Right, so moving on to 8 Lyle Street, we have one of the applicants represented to speak for the council for.
Yeah.
So you've got 3 minutes, and at 2 minutes after I give it Tim a little on the bell, just let's say you've still got a minute left, and we'll go from there. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for giving us the opportunity to speak to you today. I'm going to thank Simon Taylor on the behalf of the Society of Representing Medicine, who is housing limited on behalf of the Austin Water, who is the state manager of the CFO. As you may or may not know, Community Housing Limited is a national community housing provider with over 11,000 properties in nationwide that it manages and about 650 units also. Eight Barlow Street is an application that forms part of the broader group of applications that CHO is undertaking in partnership with the Department of Communities. And so as part of that wider project, they're hoping to develop 104 community housing dwellings. We've got about 18 applications in the system at the moment, mostly in the city one system, and 15 of those have been approved so far. 8 last weeks then around the next day. I know there are two representations that we received on this application, and we did provide a written response to those representations, which I'm not sure if we received those. As part of that response, we did sketch up as said that they will replace the boundary fencing along the southern, eastern, and northern boundaries, which are quite important as representatives. Noting that there is an obligation for CHL to address that fencing, but there's a I know also that there are some concerns about servicing and understanding that council has referred the application to relevant service providers and they have confirmed that the proposal of the dwellings can be adequately serviced by existing connections. There was also some concern about the access requirements. It is quite a narrow access point into the site, but we have been very much guided by advice from our traffic consultant. Subject to some minor modifications at the last street crossover, that the access will work fine. It's a very slow environment and quite a low traffic volume. Other than that, and this is a really important project for CHO. There's a, as you all know, a huge housing crisis in Tasmania at the moment. As of the 4th of October, there were 282 applications for one and two bedroom houses in Westfield alone. So, it's a real problem that CHO should address as well. Got questions?
We can't ask questions, so thank you. Okay, thank you for that. Councillors, on the table, so do I have a mover and a seconder for this project, please? Councillor Sherriff is the mover. Councillor White is a seconder, thank you. Councillor Sherriff is the mover of the motion.
Although I'm not really excited about the density of these units, obviously I don't have to live there, but we're acting in the planning authority and looks like we're compromised with that, so there's some doing discussion we've got around the target there.
Councillor White is the second of the motion.
Yes, well, I concur with Councillor Sherriff that the density is a little bit different from what we're used to, but I do think that overall the need for social housing is a predominant concern, and I think it's a great sign too that the applicant has decided to put the fence in as a gesture of goodwill. So that's a really good way to start out by being considerate of your neighbours. So I'm happy to see it happen.
What open up for discussion, Councillor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to applaud the applicant and the developers for recognising the social housing, Department of Communities and Community Housing Limited. However, I see this application as another example of inappropriate development in our central town. The acceptable solution for density is 325 square metres, and the response provided when the concern for density was raised, with the area per dwelling at 271. And I think the author of that response has taken quite a degree of poetic license in saying it is slightly less I think it's significantly less, and I very much understand the need for public housing, but I just really worry that the size of those dwellings and the size around them is going to be of concern and promote issues moving forward. So I'm very, very reluctant to approve this one. But thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Kim, have councillors any other questions? Comments?
Yeah, I'll just... I think the social housing issue is being sort of misrepresented on many levels. I think the stigma of social housing and the impact of social housing on communities is well recorded in many other countries and what it led to. And I think Tasmania is in a great position not to repeat those mistakes, as we do have we're fortunate enough to have enough land to spread out a bit. I still don't see any greenery plans or anything in that. We worry about Bandicoots on one side. I worry about how people living in those houses will worry about Bandicoots. So I would really appreciate if the planners, and I know what you're doing and what you're justifying it by, but I think there's little more to it than the current problem. And you've got to look at it as a long term. Thank you.
George asked, you have a question. Councillor King's raised a point on being able to be acceptable size from what. How do then we as a planning authority look at that to justify, I guess, the potential approval on this?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and through you. So it's acknowledged that the acceptable solution in terms of density isn't met. The acceptable solution is one building for 325 square metres of land area. In this instance, there's been a couple of calculations determined on the type of lot. My calculation is slightly lower, or it's higher density than the biodynamic basis of my interpretation in terms of lot. In any event, it's certainly below the acceptable solution. There's two tests, therefore, when it comes to the performance criteria. The first test is a compatibility test. That's afforded to, generally, to prime forms of development. And in that case, the test is that the density needs to be compatible with existing density surrounding the surrounding area. In this instance, that hasn't been relied upon. Rather, the alternative pathway, which is to determine that it's for significant community or social community benefit, that's been relied upon. There's three tests to that. One test is that the first overriding test is that the site or the proposed development needs to be within the capacity of infrastructure services. In this instance, it is. The second test is that it needs to be within significant community and social benefit. In this instance, it's government land, it's public land, and there's an agreement between the government and also the housing provider, CHL, to construct, develop, and to provide this affordable housing. On that basis, we consider that a significant social community housing benefit. And the third test is that the site needs to be within 400 metres of public transport or 400 metres of a listed number of zones. One of those is village, and we're 23 metres away. So from a planning point of view, the assessment's determined that it satisfies the performance criteria, and on that basis, Council's got the ability to approve.
Thanks, George. Questions, Councillors? Yeah, Councillor.
Thank you.
I support this application as it is. I think whilst the readily apparent need for social housing, etc., for homeless, I just believe this is way over the top in terms of density and the access. I just find the access absurd, whether it's a quiet street or not. And for me, I don't believe that the test that we're looking at says provides for a significant social or community benefit is a one-way test. It's not simply identifying as a need and therefore you pick that third of the box in terms of who you want to be. And in my view, we're required as planning authority to determine any permit to apply the principles contained within Schedule 1 of the Act, which is the embodiment of the NRPS, the Resource Management Planning System, and that is to ensure that the effects on the environment are considered and provide for explicit consideration of social and economic effects when decisions are made about the use and development of land. And for me, that's a two-way test. It is, are we providing a shiny new house? If you had one on that block, that would be a shiny new house. Is it in a setting compatible with providing for the amenity of these people, short, medium, and long term? And I don't believe it does. I know that the same organisation, or I believe the same organisation in Launceston, has in fact knocked down a house and are in the process of replacing it with three dwellings. Due to the site where the house is, a substantial house on that lot. So it is possible. In my view, if this proposal here had been to get rid of the two-front dwelling, provide a decent two-way road into the site, and then about anywhere from, say, 7 to 9 dwellings sitting on the back of the lot, then I would view it entirely differently. But as it is, I don't see a positive, that's a good way to someone here, countermanded by negative in terms of what side of the situation you're actually putting them in. And it's a significant distance to shops and things like that, it's all very well, and be close to doing time. But I think we need to look at the particulars of what we've got, and I think there is a much better solution that can be found. And in Tasmania, we do not have a lack of land. I mean, the entire state's homelessness situation right now, I'm saying that numbers wouldn't be added to, by finding the solution is literally a few square kilometres of the state, that is 70,000 square kilometres in the area. It's not possible to have the cake and eat it through and meet the needs of these people.
I
think I'm probably more over that point, but I understand that these units of the density it's sort of difficult to get our head around. And there's some units that were built in Deloraine which are conjoined to such a city as well. And at the time, looking back at that seemed quite unusual for our area. But now they're built and I see people living in them and it suits some people. Look, I'm not an expert in any of these fields and for me, the sense of community that should come to people living here, not everybody's got someone looking out for them and for some people just the safety of living here is what they're looking for. So no, it doesn't suit everybody, but I think it's where the applicant in this instance, and I did want to thank the developers for taking the time to talk about that fence, because as Councillor White said, it's really good to start off and good to your neighbours, so I do appreciate things like that. So look, I'm happy to support it, so thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly, I'm sorry you're out the corner of my eye. I don't know if you wanted to make a comment or not, so your head was good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion, councillors? Questions? If not, we go back to Councillor White as the second of the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually agree with Councillors King and Sinfield about the density, although I'd much rather see a development with fewer units and more space too. But in this instance, the very urgent need for housing demand overrides. I would not want to turn this down knowing how urgent the need social housing is, so just on that.
The Council Sheriff has moved the motion.
I think I'm happy to support it. There's roads over here, which I think is a bonus. Thanks.
All right, councillors, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. Okay, those against? Single, single, and clean. Thank you. Motion is passed. Very good. Thank you. Moving on to planning on priority item number two, which is 34 Scott Street. We have I guess those that in the first planning item, if you wish to leave now, please do so before we shift on to the second planning item. Okay, moving on, planning authority 234 Scott Street, Hatstone. We have no one speaking to this one now, so would somebody like to move, somebody like to second this? Councillor Cameron is the mover. Do we have a seconder, please? Councillor Freiberg, thank you.
Thanks. Well, you spoke about this just before we had a quick discussion, and one of the issues that was raised is the driveway and the access and how that works, and saying that that probably wasn't that a fantastic use of that space. And also, I wonder what a group of units like this will bring to that area, but I do also see that it brings a lot of benefits to people that might even units and has been too desirable for us to be. I also asked a question for George, the planner, about the three bedrooms versus two bedrooms. As one of the representatives said that maybe it would be better if it's two bedrooms and maybe that would make cars, but George can probably answer this because I'm not an expert. It doesn't
matter if you think about it.
So.
Thank you. Councillor Project, as the seconder.
Yeah, thank you. I think given what we just approved on a previous application, it would be pretty difficult to not approve this one.
Okay. Open up for discussion with councillors. Councillor Keegan.
Thank you. Not surprising that I'll find this one another slightly inappropriate development. The Badlands driveway, one driveway, four properties, more cringeworthy. So but I'll leave it at that point.
Councillor, have a further discussion, councillors? Questions?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Councillor.
My comment is that I also find the access inadequate and that will not make for particularly good quality of life with restaurants once they're in there, if I can put one way driver.
Ms. Johnson? For the Chief Councillors, any other questions, comments? No questions? Councillor Kelly, nothing from you? No, okay. If there's no further questions, I'll go back and very shortly put it to the vote. Any questions, comments? Nope. Councillor Sinfield.
Question asked in relation to Carrick and previous discussion, but does the driveway down around the corner, so past the first dwelling that you were coming to, is that the required width for a change of direction?
That's a question I can't answer, but I can't.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. The answer is no, it is not the required width under the terms of the acceptable solution. At that point, the width will be approximately 3.3 metres at the front of block one and 4 metres beside block four, which are the northern two dwellings. To put that into context, the planning scheme, just bear with me. For servicing greater than 6 car parking spaces, which is the case in this instance, at the change of direction, it needs to have an internal radius of 4 metres or a single width of 4.2 metres. So at the reduced point, it's 3.3 metres, and then at the highest point, it's 4.2. So it does fall short of the acceptable solution and requires assessment against the performance criteria, which has been done, and the assessment against the performance criteria, the position that's been made there by myself is
55. Well, question comes into you.
Yes, so we would need to turn to the corner off dwelling one, so the truck can go around the corner and
not go around.
In this case, there's no requirement for, I don't believe there's any requirement for this one for service vehicles such as bin vehicles to enter the site, so the analysis hasn't been made. There is an option to widen the driveway slightly if it's desired from a functional perspective. If it does become an issue, then I believe that there is enough space between the dwelling and the edge of the driveway as it's shown to widen that driveway slightly. The point would be that these would be from a civil perspective, they do make sure that they are functional for the required vehicles. But in this instance, it is slightly different to the Lowell Street application, which, because of the number of dwellings, we did require internal rubbish collection, which is why we went to the position of determining that we could have a small service vehicle implemented.
Mr. Hook, do you have questions? Okay, Councillor Frederick has the second of the motion. Any comments?
Thank you. Well, as you will aware, I'm against these sort of developments, but like every time, there doesn't seem to be much we can do about it. Thank you.
Camera. Okay, I'll put the motion in favour. Please have my hand. And those against? Thank you. Motion passed. All right, moving on. Planning Authority, item number 3, which is 35 Griffith Street. Those in the gallery that wish to leave before we go to Millstone Town. Okay, so we have two people to speak to this item before I move the motion. So, Jill, is here. John Harvey will give you the microphone. You have 3 minutes to address council maximum, unless you go over, I'll give you a little bit.
Bring that to you. This application takes 2 lots as existing and creates 7 new residential lots and a new residential zone. We understand that there are concerns from some residents regarding water services and other identified matters, which we have sought to investigate further with the council.
and we've got a lot of senior responses from Tasman Road and from the council point out that in all this application is very important using all the sort of acceptable solutions to the scheme according to the general central zone. The exception is the performance criteria project, but each lot has allocated access and the subdivision design layout makes good and efficient use of the road. We know in a small way this development will alter the existing capital development, but we don't think this will be adverse to the effect, as each lot provides for the intended use and the lots are generously sized. There are other examples of internal lots in the Pitt Street and in the residential zones of Carrick. And for the purpose of the zone is to provide for a range of residential uses for particular instances, which this would do. Also for the provision of social, transport and other service infrastructure. For making efficient use of the land and increasing densification, just a little, because there are still large lots for the zone, the provision of infrastructure and services becomes more efficient. More people can access existing networks. Young Dale is known for his observational studies of urban planning and how streets and buildings, building design, affect public life. His observations show that when we spread dwellings out and distance between them, we create a thinning of sociality. Life between buildings is phased out. Our streets tend to become populated by cars and people, and our car dependencies increase. Increasing density appropriately is one way of addressing how we have life between buildings and use our built infrastructure and networks efficiently. This subdivision represents a small increase in density, efficient use of land and available infrastructure. We have an opportunity to support the township of Carrick through population growth and compact units without outward sprawl that compromises the surrounding environment. By making good use of the available land that is appropriately zoned or located, we facilitate close-spread urban communities with local opportunities. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure. And Sarah, Doug,
I'm terrible at public speaking, so I apologise in advance. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for the opportunity to address the meeting. The other respondents couldn't be here. The other couple have an family member, and I can't accept them. So, I want to thank Dan, Greg Jones also, for the communications and guidance through the whole process. It's been wonderful. We appreciate the level of detail in the planning and quality report, but we do remain disappointed by the lack of supporting evidence the applicant is required to provide to support their proposal. A bushfire management plan does not address the issues of development of this size may and likely will create for not only our street but those surrounding them. A correct process would surely see a developer having to agree with supporting evidence that their proposal will affect and not be left to concern locals to prove or not. A representative for the developer initiated contact with us in response to our objection and advised that they would have been able to provide or undertake the following above report. But report to us being advised by council that they would not be required. Reports such as a traffic impact assessment and environmental impact assessment, road widening works, and any upgrades to the street's water pipes to address the residents' water flow concerns. We acknowledge that the council's guidelines has water on the issue of water infrastructure and will be raising this particular issue formally after today. Our plumber is scheduled to undertake our water pressure testing by the end of October. Our water does not have sufficient pressure to even run a dishwasher and washing machine at the same time, which is an issue, especially when you have children who can never in the cycle of dirty clothes and dishes every single day. Our neighbours who also lodged a representation with such little water that they had to install their own tank and have to tap roots into it every day just to get enough water. And another neighbour at the end of our street cannot run more than one water source at a time, even if it's just a kitchen tap.
The purpose of the representative's contact was to attempt to satisfy our concerns from the objection if we were open to resolving them, and in turn withdraw our representation prior to today's council meeting. We define this as we firmly believe it's important to pursue what we now know are not only our concerns, but also concerns shared by a number of members of the Carrick community. The development proposed for 35 Edmund Street will be the biggest development in Carrick outside of Hawthorne Park. It is proposed for the second shortest road in the town, at approximately 330 metres long. Our end of Edmund Street is one of only two no-through roads, and the other no-through road, which is the shortest street, has only three titles. Currently, we have 25 titles on this 330-metre section of road, making us the second smallest, yet most titled street in Carrick. This is already proven to be unsustainable, as both the water and road infrastructures are not holding up. If the development was to go ahead, this would increase our street by a further six titles. The council's road authorities advised us that the expected volume of traffic that will be created by the development has been modelled on similar roads in Carrick with higher traffic volumes, and this included East Street. East Street is 769 metres long and has 7 points of entry and exit. Our end of Liffey Street has only 1 point of entry and exit. We note that for a previous planning application in Delaware, on a block of land half the size of 35 Liffey Street, being PA220161, a traffic impact assessment was obtained, and the report from Nielsen Traffic states that Council had advised that the development required a DIA to accompany the development application. That was a proposal for multiple dwellings of 7 units on the Rotary Road. The application in question today is for a subdivision of 7 lots on the Rotary Road. These lots have the capacity for larger dwellings and units proposed in PA220161. Therefore, a larger number of vehicles could be allocated per lot. In an email from the Council dated 14 September 2022, we were advised, and quote, generally for similar developments, Council has not requested traffic impact assessments as the impact on safety and efficiency of the road network is negligible. As such, Council as the Road Authority has given consent for new accesses, allowing the development to meet the acceptable solution. If for similar developments the TIA has been provided, it has generally been without a request from Council. The inconsistency in process requirements is both confusing and frustrating, particularly in this case where the Deloraine and Liffey Street developments are not dissimilar. The issue of construction traffic and roadworks has not been taken into consideration either. We have a number of photos and videos of heavy vehicles taking up the full width of our street, having to do upwards of 8-point turns at the end of the street to be able to leave. And in some instances, semi-trailers with dog trailers not even being able to turn, but they have resorted to reversing back up Liffey Street and onto East Street to be able to leave, and in turn blocking the road for upwards of half an hour. In the past 2 years, we have also experienced up to a dozen instances where the road was blocked during a road that's been undertaken, resulting in residents being late for work and school, and for me personally, missing critical antenatal appointments, which could not be rescheduled promptly due to COVID period delays. We have been advised by road workers to use the road at the other end of the street as they can't let us through. The other end of the street is a private driveway with no public access. We have even experienced the road workers leaving their vehicles parked across the road and unattended whilst they went to the service station to buy food. In an email to us dated 4 October, the Road Authority advised that traffic management plans relating to such works do not go to the authority for approval prior to the works being able to commence. The sites are monitored when staff are driving past. With a development of this size, construction periods are likely to be lengthy, and we have not been given a clear understanding of how this will be managed for the existing residents. With regards to Liffey Street, the edges of the bitumen are broken and uneven. The road is in poor condition and the road verge is also inconsistent. The average width of a suburban street in Australia is 6.1 metres. This end of Liffey Street is 4.3 at its widest point. The heavy vehicle traffic which has been using this road since the frequent development commenced here in 2020 has caused significant damage. Road edges are becoming irreparable and residents' private driveways are becoming increasingly damaged at points where these trucks are turning around. The unsealed corners of the East Street intersection are unsafe to walk near as trucks coming across them will cause significant damage.
I have to get you to wrap up, sir. I'll give you 5 minutes.
Thank you. any pedestrian crossing from our from or back into Nicholas Street has to do so on the roadway as a result. This is already dangerous and prior to another potential increase in vehicle numbers. The council subdivision servicing policy allows for a subdivision to be refused where the provision of such services as roads, curbs, vehicle access, footpaths, etc. may place an intolerable or unaffordable burden on the city council. The residents of Carrick are aware of and understand budget constraints, but in turn are concerned that further damage to its roads due to increased vehicle construction traffic will not be rectified due to a lack of infrastructure funding being available and not allocated to the area. With regards to the view that the impact on safety and efficiency of the road network is negligible, I could not disagree more. To say it's negligible is to say it's so unimportant or small that it may safely be neglected or disregarded. Carrick is a town full of families, many of whom have young children, and this includes me. Through the rapid increase in developments over the past 2 years, more and more families are moving to the area as it has to date provided a desirable space to raise children. Given the lack of public transport, each occupied property also brings with it one or more vehicles. An increase in the number of children and vehicles does naturally increase the chances of incidents involving the two. In my professional experience, these types of accidents have a high chance of catastrophic, if not fatal, outcomes. Yep, can I still? Thank you. It is vital for a community to become involved in their planning and politics. Places should not be created by developers and planners alone, but by the people who live, work, and play their professions. Given the significant amount of money that has been invested into undertaking the intended placement outline development plan, it would be in Carrick's best interest for a similar, albeit smaller scale plan to be developed prior to the large scale subdivisions being considered. The Hudson ODP identified via its community consultation there's a clear message the community wanted to see the township grow but didn't want it to become too large and it must keep rural village feel. This has been taken into consideration in the ongoing development of Hudson, but appears to have been disregarded for the even smaller, more historical area of Carrick. It is also difficult to understand how a neighbour to the left of our property can be advised that they are not permitted to divide any part of the vast property as its own country. However, an urban level density development to the right of our property can be put forward for approval no more than 30 metres from the boundary line. The issue of there not being a zoning plan is a significant one and will be pursued by the levels.
Okay, councillors. Thank you for those both speakers there. And I can move up for this development, please. Councillor Sherrick, thank you. A second, please. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Sherrick as the mover.
I'll open it up for discussion, but I am a little bit more impressed with the lot sizes on this development. They are reasonable size lots, 1.5 or around 1,700 square metres. So, I'm just happy to open up.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron, there's a second question.
I really don't, so I won't be able to confuse you. But so I think one of the you raised some points about planning, and I always think that sometimes planning is not very easy to understand for doesn't make sense actually to probably 99% of the population. Planners are an expert. A lot of people that it doesn't make sense all the time, and often I find that we'll always have this cart before the horse moment with a lot of things. And a lot of the things that you've raised are really, really important, but then in the whole not making sense to the real world, they actually probably aren't that relevant to planning either. But doesn't mean that we haven't written a lot of notes, and I really keen to discuss these with some of the other directors. And I was talking to the council a little while before, and we spoke about, you probably do need to turn your head down that road. The road probably does need looking at. So there's sort of things that we want to discuss. And I also wrote some notes down about TASWA and TAS Networks, their responses. They're not overly helpful responses, and
obviously the neighbour having the same problems, and also one of the other representatives saying, there's an issue there that they really do need to look at, and probably with these seven new lots, it's going to have to happen. But again, outside of this actual planning application, but I'll just, it only makes sense, but anyway, I'll just talk to anybody else.
That's a lot.
Thank you. Just to follow on from Councillor Cameron's comments, I agree with the observations from the concerning the infrastructure of the road and the state of the road. I do believe council does have an obligation for infrastructure in case of development. And for development is shooting along at such a pace that there's inevitably there. However, it's possible to submit this issue to the future capital works program, which can be done, and which I will do. So that's one. So we're talking about the state of the footpaths, we're talking about turning circle for heavy vehicles. And just to clarify, that is submitted to the capital works program, and then all those submissions are considered and weighed up and held on to that program.
Thanks, Councillor White. I've got Councillor King.
Thank you, Chair. Just a comment about the driveways. Maybe it's not a comment, just a question. Really?
Thanks. Councillor Prodder and Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, what would concern me more than anything is the water supply. And whilst it says that that water has to be in the report and everything else, I would like to know where the water comes from and the feasibility of the whole thing, because with yard water, we don't have to worry about brown water.
Thanks. Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, look, I want to thank you for the the city acquired from the water, and talked about the water pressure. I think that was a little bit of a concern. Councils rather than to be the water is a taxable issue. If the people have issues with the water, to can plan to check the water pressure later. So I'll just make those people aware that the issue internally.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Kelly. And while it is a technical question, we as councillors, council have a share for all those waters. We can also certainly follow up from our council's point of view for water pressure or sewage issues. Are you up for discussion, councillors?
No.
Councillor Simpson.
Yeah, I refer back to the councillor sheriff's comment about large lot sizes. My observation is that lots 1, 6 and 7 are all because of the zone of general residential, but we have having three dwellings on them. The next two would have two to make the acceptable solution. Probably the lot 3 at 519 is in beauty. That's fairly safe for my own to get home. Well, we've just approved the development in Lyle Street. I think exactly, or within a square metre of putting two lots on lot three. So we're looking at 13, 14, possibly 15 dwellings into that area. As one comment, a bit of discussion with the planner yesterday. It was stated that no alternative arrangement could be made in terms of the cul-de-sac or whatever to avoid the road dislike intensity as a whole heap of balance blocks. I would have thought, just looking at it, that one less block would probably enable such a configuration to occur. If you do away with five driveways, two and then three on the other end of the line up beside each other. Technical question is,
which I've asked earlier, but could I get an answer to formally to the three driveways on the right, the one that goes into lot six, sort of touched on the second application we dealt with, the turning formally into that property doesn't meet the required width. If one of the staff would be through here, would be able to answer that. So I'm looking at the northeast corner of block 5, but I'm specifically addressing how we get in and out of block 6 in terms of the width of the caravan.
Through you, Mr. Van. As a note, those three internal driveways on that side there are all going to be done with the driveway through there, which doesn't allow them to do the building. So when you're looking at it is three, but in regards to practicality, that it's going to be one big driveway putting out all those three lots.
But what I'm getting at is when you go to enter, if you look on page 394, there's measurement there, 9.34 plus or minus. If you go just to the right of that, there's a dotted line that is south. At that point, where you're no longer sharing the three driveways, you're actually going out of the three driveways into one, you're going around the corner. Has it got the level of a suitable, not the level, but a suitable one to actually get around that corner to the entrance into the box? The broader than that. You've got two dotted lines there. No? So they come up as three. And you've got a turn into there. There. In terms of what the same address is, there's sufficient space to do that. Feeding allowance for the fact that you might be right over near the right hand side. If you start
Any other questions, Councillor? Any other questions, Councillor?
So following on from what I said before, for me, whilst I probably can't find a reason to vote against this, the devil will be in future details of what we've done and what she intensification looks like we're going to do when we get to the next level in the development applications and the individual box.
Thank you. Any other discussion, councillors? Mike first along, councillor. No. Back to Councillor Cameron and second your motion.
Thanks. Just reread my ramblings. But thanks, Diane, for your work on this, because it's nice to get feedback from the representatives. But I'll just ask a question before Jared about whether or not we needed a traffic impact assessment. Because not every development will come to council, so not every development we actually see. And there's a couple of things that triggered this to come to us. And I asked Jared before, how many times, do these things happen that we don't see that don't have traffic impact assessments? And what he thought about, what impact that would have given and, why we would, because the representative mentioned the Deloraine one versus this one, just trying to compare them. But I just wondered, Jared might be able to explain what he explained to me before, just for the benefit of the representative, about how, that this is a fairly common thing, sorry.
I'll do ask my question. Yeah, we assess each application of merit, and
Run for an easy zip or in the apps to support solution, which is effectively a TIA. In this one, the team decided that it was running or not, and recommended to Gemini that he would give consent and he was having someone up on it.
Yeah. That's not abnormal though.
It's not abnormal. The one that's under example of the connection, the 100% across, so I can't comment on that one, but I do like this. Is a 2x27 so it's only 5 additional dots. So we sort of assess it as that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Sheriff, what's the move?
Obviously, in the interim, this is going to cause a few headaches with the traffic wires and whatnot. It looks like Miffy Street's got problems previous to this development, which could also be light shone on them and rectified. Obviously, that water issue, I'm surprised that they put up with it this far. So perhaps this might shine a light on that and get a few of these things rectified and in due course get upgrades to the roads and potentially better access and whatnot was great. I'm happy to support
it. Sheriff, so on the basis, I'll put the motion. All those in favour of the developer side, raise your hands, please. Against? So, I guess we're getting two abstentions. You voted for it, sir. Sorry, Councillor Scott. One abstention. That's a vote in me, the Councillor Simpson. Okay, thank you. Passed, motion passed. So, those that wish to leave, Councillors, how do you continue on? Yes, good. Didn't give you up, did you? I thought I didn't see your.
That's a good one. I'm sorry.
You still love me, dear.
Mini grants and sponsorship funds. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor King, second please. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor King.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm just going to make a general comment about the community grants program. I've had the privilege of sitting as a member of that committee for the last 8 years on council. It's probably one of the most positive things that council do is support community clubs, groups, sporting organisations and the sponsorship requests, and very, very proud to say I've supported and worked on that committee for the duration of my term on council, and hope that everybody else sees it in a similar light and supports our recommendation today.
Thanks, Councillor. Your pleasure, please, to be on that before we've been on the committee. Councillor Cameron?
Really, just to reiterate what Councillor King said, and I am going to miss you because probably my favourite part about council is having grants committee. But thank you tonight. You make it so easy for us and always get the information that we need and ask for and answer all our silly questions. And it's really grown in popularity. This grant round was huge, and I think that's just a testament to your hard work of getting out and about into the community and sharing these good stories that council do. And I've said it before that sometimes just this little bit of money can do huge things for some of our community groups and organisations. So I hope that we can keep doing it. It's time around. If you're having a bit, thanks very much, guys.
What about them having you, Ben?
Okay, open up for discussion, Councillor Fabric.
Yes, Mole Creek Recreation Ground. I thought that was school on that.
The upgrade? No, they use it, don't they?
No. Well, there are two grounds there that you're talking about. Which one are you talking about? There's the old tennis court.
I think we all direct that through the night.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. Yeah. Are we talking the old tennis court or are we talking the footy club? Sir, I'm aware of that. I just wonder why it says the Progress Association. What's it got to do with them?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the Progress Association will act as an auspicing organisation because the football club doesn't currently have incorporation status.
Okay, that explains it. Thank you.
Any other questions, councillors?
It'll be three.
Yeah. Is that a question?
Somewhere there.
Can we get an answer from the council like
that? Notes, any comments?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to have a conversation with the reduced offer, I guess, of a community grant of 1500 to look at some alternative quotes. So the bonus provide one quote. So we'll work with the community grant to have a look at the end price.
Okay. Anything else, councillors? Councillor Kelly.
Well, I don't know a lot about Just Cats Incorporated, but they do exist outside of the municipality. I think they've got a location in Mowbray and possibly a registration address in Longford, but they do operate throughout the north, and I believe the council has a funding agreement with them already. That's about my level of detail. We can talk to Mr. and her team about the animal management side of things. And at this point in time, it was through the committee we were deciding that it wasn't supported because it was more of an animal management issue, and they should provide some more clarity around how they would use any additional funds in the Meander Valley, specifically for the Meander Valley Council issue.
Just in relation to Just Cats, to underline what Nate has indicated, council contributes along with other northern regional councils, I think from memory, in the order of about $5,000 per annum. It's my view that Just Cats, to Nate's points, needs to indicate how Meander Valley specifically has advantage from an additional contribution, and any additional contribution should be specified and made at the annual renewal of that funding.
Thanks, Jeff. Yes, thank you.
My recollection was at the time there was a process where they wanted cash, if you like, possibly a fee or something
Okay, Councillor Fabry.
No, just on the cats thing, it's been identified as the worst introduced species currently in Australia. So whatever we can do to minimise them, the better. So well done.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Just Cats does operate in the northern region as a cat management facility.
And we do provide a donation to them. They requested, they submitted a business plan to us and requested annual funding, and we do supply, provide a cash contribution to them, $5,000 each year. And it's probably more appropriate if they want additional funding to go through that avenue rather than through the grants committee.
No, I just wanted to also highlight to Council Mole Creek Football Club. My understanding is that they are not an incorporated association, and the grant is being directed to Mole Creek Progress Association. So it's a grant provided to a third-party organisation to achieve an outcome. Just wanted to achieve transparency on that.
We have questions, councillors?
No, well done.
Okay, back to the same motion, Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. It was remiss of me not to mention the efforts over my 8 years on the committee of Patrick Gambles and Nate Austin for the tremendous amount of work that they invest in community, in gathering information, assisting organisations with their applications and getting some of these projects over the line, whether that be by finding or succeeding bodies to help them or to guide them with what their application can or should be for them to be able to do other things as well. I'm also noticing Nate's malware and probably suggesting we might need to read that
I was concerned with the sentence on the bottom of the second paragraph before 478. It says, given this, in the round two is oversubscribed, council may consider whether to approve the loan sponsorship. And that's where we need to address that, or we do not know that at all.
Can
we
follow
up? It's very answer. Yes. Yes. Since your last meeting, John.
Round one is unsubscribed, so we're sitting pretty well. I've been halfway through the two rounds. So,
that answers another question.
No, that's not in the table. Page 77.
Is that the one? Okay, I've got to put the motion first. Just move and put this.
Yeah,
I'll just open it. Got to put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. Want a break, Andy? Yeah, we'll turn for 2 minutes. Andy, shot out. Let's have a quick. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, please. Councillor King, thank you. Second, please. Councillor White, Councillor King is the mover. Any comments?
Yes, thanks to Jonathan and Shane for putting together
$10,874.
So
then we
can
spend
that
on the floor. So, through you, Mr. Mayor,
Councillor Cummings referring to page 489 of the Capital Works program. The Capital Works project that has been underway related to the contract. I'm not sure if that current total in there is inclusive of all the cost of that, because I'm aware, although we had the opening recently, there's a meeting starting around that, that there were some picnic tables and some other bits and pieces that were required to finish up the site. So I'm not sure if that includes all of the costs today. However, I know that there was some community interest and some workshops and discussion with election members around other elements to be delivered on that property at some point in the future, or not, depending on the decisions of the council. I guess that will be for a long discussion.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Well, from my point of view, I reiterate what has just been said regarding easy to look at, laid out. Anyone can pick these up and really go through them, as I'm sure they are people that they're going through them, as we're supposed to. But again, well done to the team, John. Thank you. So, that's my involvement. Anyone else? All right. Moving on. No one else? I'll go back to the second regulation, Councillor White. Any? Councillor King has a moving motion. No? All right. Thank you, Councillors. Review policy number 43, dog management. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Seconder. Anyone second this? Councillor Pryor, thank you. Really, thank you. Councillor Cameron, move your motion.
Thanks, Krista, and Tony, particularly Heidi, for the work on this. I think we've reached a pretty good outcome. My only comments would be the same, similar to what I mean really early on in the piece, that although Council tried their best to consult with the community, it still appears that the community, particularly in some Western House areas, didn't feel like they were consulted. And that's not a reflection on me, it's just a reflection on probably the way we may have worded it. I'm not sure why, I've been talking to a lot of people recently that bring up dogs recently, so it's just my only reflection I'd like to make. And also to point out to those that we're not actually restricting access to the recreational grounds, it's just on the playing surfaces themselves, which I think will make a lot of sense to most people. But overall, I hope that we've reached a good outcome, and thank you for
your work. Yeah, I believe this is really important. We're cutting down places or possibilities for people to walk their dogs. Just go to Villa Run Market. I think everybody takes their dog there for a walk. Overdevelopment of houses on 300 square meters. If people will have pets, there's got to be another major issue in future.
Have that open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor King, your microphone.
I noticed in the previous focus, local government association magazine, that there are ads for biodegradable dog food bags. Mm. So I wonder if we could consider.
Good. Any other discussion? Councillor Kettle.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just concerning ads for the Westbury
the actuality of how it's operated in the past is slightly different to what the was recommended, and we haven't changed any of that, but I hope it means we're not altering how it actually operates. If you want me to be more explicit, people do the circular walk with dogs off their leads, but they call them others at home twice, and they do go further up to the west where their dogs off leads and they can swim in the river then. And in the Hagsden instance, if you go along the riverbank to the probably to the northwest a little bit, where it's a shallow entry to get the dogs down the river rather than the bank right next to the off-lead area. So those are how it's operated in practice in the past. I hope those practices won't be in the current operation.
Any comments? Question. Okay, Councillor Kelly.
That's correct, Deputy Mayor. There's a number of projects identified from a range of our the areas identified in the last one. I guess a number of those have already been completed. You may be familiar with the Galane fenced area on 1000 Drive, and there's a sheltered area put in place there. There's been some taps put in. There's further projects identified for fencing. There's a new area in the plan.
In big plastic.
In plastic plan. Off lone views, which will require fencing. So that's what Capital Works project is for, is to provide elements such as to complement our big areas that are identified, things like fencing and water connections to those areas.
Next up. Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Hibbert.
Thank you. We had an email from the lady regarding Greyhound there, right there, and I had a discussion with her. She was going to send us a second email saying that she was going to send us some photos and measurements of the other three. I think it is already in existence in the state, what the size were, if it wasn't. So for far smaller than what a lot of the square envisioning. Now for the size of a quarter of a block, in fact, not hundreds and hundreds of metres long, that's what the square gradient would make. Did we receive that second email, and where are we at in terms of addressing the gradient?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not aware of the receipt of a second email. We need to double check that. I'm not front aware of it. My recollection was that the number of greyhounds we housed in the region was in the order of 40, and that's across the broader region, not just Meander Valley. And so the return on investment from sort of making a dog off leash area specialised is probably not there, I'd suggest, based on those numbers.
Thank you, Jeff. Questions, comments, Councillor? Councillor Kelly.
And suggest that the dogs should be split into four because I think some dogs are probably less friendly than others. And
I do remember when Robinson presented to council about the proposed map, maybe looking at Moore Street, that there was a need for larger, you know, the ground being divided into two for large and small dogs. So that appears to be a common concern and requirement.
I was just going to say.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, through our policy, we're declaring an off-lead area. If we decide to split those areas up into smaller and large areas, we can do that at a future stage. Yeah. But at this stage, we're just creating those off-lead areas.
Well, nothing else. We go back to Councillor Fodrick and second motion.
No, not at this stage. Thank you.
Councillor Cameron's motion. All those in favour, please say aye. That's unanimous. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to annual plan. Somebody like to move, somebody like a second. Thanks, Councillor White. Second, please, Councillor Sherriff. Thank you. Councillor White is the mover. Page 520. Okay, I have enough for discussion, councillors. Councillor Cynthia.
No, look, I think it's crazy to read and follow, and I quite like the Capital Works program, that thing, this thing, for those following on. But the only comment I had, and I sound a bit petty, but maybe some photos from the Meander Valley, like actual Meander Valley people strolling through bushes that look happy.
Yeah.
Well, this person here, surely these aren't ours. They don't look clean enough.
Oh, God.
This one, they're ours. What if they get told to wear a new uniform for the day? I don't know.
Right. We'll take that on board.
Oh, no,
I think
it's
okay. If that's the most you've got to pick up,
otherwise, I'm happy.
That's good. Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion, councillors? Yes, Mick. It's a pie, it's not a biscuit. So, Deb?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, just in terms of the bridge renewal at Needles, I did raise that with Dino, and it was a matter of what side of the road it came down to. So that's where that landed.
Well, no even bridge bus out there somewhere. Yeah, Robbie?
Yeah, we're just on bridges. I'm taking the current here. Well, the line is commitment on page 526 for a bridge replacement in the way of the bridge. Hopefully, I don't see the deputy mayor's line.
We are about the
second paragraph, the second full paragraph, towards the bottom.
Bridge replacement and Western
Creek, and extensive road resurfacing. It's actually a bridge replacement over Western Creek, but it's way down the bottom and on the
And I'll give you the footpath as well as a bonus out there. Okay. Any other comments, questions, councillors?
I did have a comment. I think the layout, the look of the thing.
Yeah, I could agree with you on the breakup square corners, the municipalities, the bridges, the roads, all those bits and pieces are something that people can look to, and we as councillors can certainly look to that too. Which is good. That's a good setup with it. So, well done to the staff to put this together. Any other comments, councillors? If not, I'll go back to Councillor Sheriff for the second of the motion. No, Councillor White is moving motion.
Just to reiterate the appreciating the layout, easy to read, lots of information included in there, and an easy to read manner. So, well done.
Good. Okay, put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. That is unanimous, thank you. Moving on to purchase of land, Wildwood Road, page 562. Someone like to move, someone like second, my friend, so I'll catch it. Councillor King, thank you. Second, Councillor White. Councillor King is the mover.
Yes, thank you. Just want to acknowledge the time and effort of the Rotary College of Deloraine in managing Wildwood for the last 25 years. The effort has ebbed and flowed, and I think it's a very good proposal from them to hand that asset over to council so that it remains in community management, very much in favour of the proposal.
Councillor White, is there a second?
Yes, I'm aware of the fact that by purchasing this land, we are adding to our obligations to maintain and develop and make safe and all that sort of stuff. However, I think, as has already come up once today, council does have obligation to keep pace with development, and development's going pretty crazy in Deloraine and everywhere else across the municipality. So if we're able to capture some a green space for that's going to be enjoyed and become more and more important, because all over the place we can see large backyards being given over to units, and that's in some cases it's a good thing and in some cases it's too much. By and large, we're going to have many, many more houses and units, and each time that happens, there's a bit less informal green space around. So, capturing the space and the increase in revenue from the increase in housing must give us eventually enough resources to manage future capital works like this. So, I think as a legacy project,
yep.
It's an opportunity
that
should be taken.
Thank you, Councillor Temple. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. How was the quantum? Through you, Mr. Mayor. The quantum was, as I said, a verbal offer from the Rotary Club. They indicated that they had a valuation of the site several years old now. It's in the order of, don't quote me on the exact figure, but a figure of 46,000 comes to mind. They're not interested in securing money for profit out of it. They're interested in securing the retention of the land being available for public use. And so they put forward a notional figure of $10,000, and as the brief indicates, a commitment to put 6,000 of that towards establishing a land care group on that site. Yeah.
Thanks. Councillor Temple?
Do we have to pay stamp duty on this?
I would assume so. Yeah. And hence the provision is for $20,000, anticipating those on cost conveyancing, et cetera.
Anything else, councillors? Questions? Comments? Yes, Councillor
Kelly. This is a message to the people, not just to the owners, quite a few people, and walking. I don't know how many
Thanks, Councillor Key.
In response to his comment about hunting club use, yes, in years past, the Wild was used a lot of hunting club, but since the asset that we now know as the hunting club, them creating much stronger flows in the end of the river over summer, which I think is a great thing, has caused the river levels to be far too high in summer to safely cross kids and ponies. So we have at times taken kids across the river purely for recreational and it's like a conquest for kids at Pony Club Camp to be able to ride across the river, but it's not practical to take large groups of kids or to provide that competitive opportunity there anymore until, of course, we have another new asset of a bridge or a causeway across the river at that point.
Thanks, Councillor Key. Councillor Simcoe.
Yeah, Tony Phil, sort of following on from that, this area, we're on the fringe of the Simcoe Kelly Road Bridge that was identified some years ago, and someday hopefully that'll give a second crossing across the river inside Delano Township.
Okay, that's fine.
Any other questions, comments, councillors? No. No, look, I support the project. It'll be good. It'll probably be working on the water Friday night, but if we get to know what we're talking about, we'll pass on that. Yeah, it'll be good to see you. So, wrapping up, Councillor White is the seconder of the motion. Councillor King is the mover of the motion. The motion, all those in favour, please say aye. That is unanimous, councillors. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, can I be excused?
Councillor Frydrich has been asked to excuse the meeting.
There's your last crunchy. You live in Chudley, for God's sake. Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah, I've got to go. But good luck to everybody that put their hand up and was allowed to go forward. Said I might have to talk to you. Yeah, I'm sure I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Cheers.
All the best. Okay. Bye.
The
infrastructure services. I'd like to move some of those second. Councillor Cowan, thank you. Second, please. Councillor King, thank you. So.
Did he left, Frederick?
Oh, I'm not looking at the screen. I'm going to.
That should keep him out.
Councillor Cowan, move motion.
Look, yes, anything that assists in emergency services, finding people. I'm in favour, but for the life of me, I cannot work out how to pronounce that. What? Ilgen. Is that like McLean?
Well, we've got two different spellings on this name.
Is that my island? Is that Ilgen? I just asked the school teacher next door, and she said it's not Ilgen. Not Ilgen.
Ilgen.
It's not different in part two of the motion. Could we clarify what the spelling is?
Part two of the motion.
Yeah.
Where's Dina?
He's gone. Hang on, sorry. Can you just kind of squeakly? I can tell you.
Does it really matter?
Yes.
Well, I'm here when we know this.
I reckon it will matter, right? Is it any difference from the RMA?
One.
MCILVEEN.
Just double check.
Absolutely. Well, on the label, on the image two, it's MCILEEN.
No V.
So it's just a recommendation.
Right.
Jared?
Yeah.
Okay.
I L D double E N. McIldeen.
McIl.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's
double E. Okay. Just snuck in.
Well, we just call it what we want, and it'll just have to be what it has to be, won't it?
Oh, no.
Yes. Very important that it goes there. Because you'll never remember.
Well done.
You'll remember what time, but you won't remember which part in the proceedings.
They're going to have to
spell for the rest of their
lives. Yeah,
come on. It's the announcer,
is it?
Yeah, he's
good. We've got five. What's the spelling? V-E-E-N. So it's what's on our agenda. M-C-E-E-N. What on the paper I'm looking at here?
It's both ways.
Okay, it's been corrected now. I'm looking up with...
Everyone's happening. What's happening?
I'm
happening, Sharon. Why are we in that section? What are we doing in that section?
Also incorrect.
Motion.
And now I've spoken, and now Councillor King has spoken. If you like.
What she said.
She said.
Now we're
right.
See what's happening.
I've done my bit, and you can do
it. Well, leave it.
And then
open discussion.
I'd just like to remind everybody that last time there was confusion in the minutes, and it was around about this point. We suddenly degenerated to the point where nobody really knew what anyone was saying. So I suggest that we concentrate on it.
Oh, that's.
He knows.
Yeah, I'm interested. Yeah. Still, we're away. We're open. Council Temple.
I'm happy to support this, but I find it incongruous that we're going to naming landmarks with Indigenous or co-naming them with Indigenous names, and here we are still perpetuating them naming new places with Anglo-Saxon and Celtic names.
I'm not aware of council naming co-naming anything, Council Centre.
Well, it should be 2:14. Western here, we're calling
council.
Well, we're trying to find the correct name and all those sorts of things. So,
yeah.
Here we are perpetuating what we've done the last 200 years. It's incongruous.
Okay, point taken. Councillor Wright,
I'm not going to vote against this, but I find it incongruous that we're proposing to name or allow a street to be named something that we can't spell, we can't pronounce, and heaven help the people who don't end up living there.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Any more discussions? We've got another one we're voting for. Back to second order motion, Councillor King.
Thank you, Mayor. In response to the suggestions for Aboriginal names, I think if you want to hold the project up, then go and consult TAC, and you'll succeed in doing that. very, very happy and very supportive of
what we do with regard to welcome to or acknowledgement of country, depending on what country or area over to. And if the application was for having the name, I certainly would have an objection to that either, but dual naming, I think, is promoting confusion.
Thank you. Ms. Cameron, doesn't matter.
No,
nothing. Well, all those in favour, please say aye. That's unanimous. Thank you. Motion to close the meeting, please. Mr. White, second, please.
Go for it.
Councillor King, I think, just got in. For the motion, all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against. You're unanimous, or you did vote against it. So, moving to closed session, we...
Quick, quick.
Start medley. Yep, start medley.